Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Keisha McAllister. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Keep it right here because your hair speaks volumes.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
I'm
The Hair Radio Morning Show is back, bigger and better than ever. Join your favorite radio talk show hosts, Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins, and of course, Mr. Kerry Hines. Great new topics, great new guests, great new music and more. So, stay tuned.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to RuggedEvo.com. That's RuggedEvo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Kerry Hines.
I'm Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
I'm Kerry Hines, and I'm in Brooklyn, New York. You know, I have I've thought about this for a while, and I wanted to be able to share with all of you guys, really, on what it's really been like to be in the thralls of what you're doing, and kind of like blocking everybody else out, if you will. And you kind of need that tunnel vision. You really do. You kind of need it because you've got to stay focused. You don't have time for a lot of the other ancillary distractions that will take you off your journey. And when you're called upon to do big things, well, you kind of got to get to it. And I feel that being the host of the Hair Radio Morning Show with my amazing crew has been a remarkable and almost predestined event or occurrence in my life. And so I'm so grateful for you guys. I'm so grateful every day that you tune in. We put together a remarkable broadcast live for 3 hours daily. Who else cares that much in the hair business? Who? So I thank you. I thank our amazing fans from every corner of the planet Earth who tune in. We are local. We're right next door. And we're across the country. And we're around the world. So the next time you think about taking in the latest podcast, if you will, or just hanging out with the Hair Radio Morning Show, I think this will cross your mind. So, listen, Maggie Anderson is up next, and I'm Kerry Hines. I just want you to just keep it right here and stay tuned. We've got a lot more to go, folks.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand, and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
But I sing no victim song. I am a woman, I am an artist, and I know where my voice below.
As black women, we deal with it. The whole thing about, do you show up with your natural hair? You know, braids, y'all. You know, but you know, as first lady, I did not wear braids. That's right, black. Yeah, I we gotta ease up on the people.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest with us is Dr. Pranique James. You know her well. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome back Dr. Pranique James. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Carrie. Thank you very much for having me on again. I feel like I'm back home.
You are. You're amongst family here. Well, listen, yes. I just wanted to say, first of all, it is our honor to have you on. I mean, you are the noted trichologist out there, amongst so many things, just that you're doing these days. But we go back a little bit. I want to say it's been a while.
Yes. Now,
Dr. Pranique James, I want to say that I remember you, you know, you were part of the How to Get Rich in the Hair business book several years ago. It's been several years at this point. But let's talk about your career. Now, with trichology, that's a big thing out there. We always have to tell folks, because not everyone is still, even at this time, as familiar with what trichology is all about. So let's start at the beginning. Tell everybody a little bit about what trichology is all about.
Absolutely. Trichology is the study of the hair and the scalp. I work very closely with men, women, and children suffering from various hair and scalp disorders, hair loss, or just in general trying to get their hair to a healthy state. So I actually take a holistic approach to overall hair health.
I see. And what does that approach include? Because when you say a holistic approach, what does that mean?
A holistic approach. I'm also a naturopathic doctor. And we take, again, the holistic approach, meaning I take approach from the body system. Our body has 12 different systems. So normally when someone comes in for hair loss, what I do is do a body scan. And what that does is it tells me exactly what body systems are out of range. So, for example, a lot of my women that come in, they have their glandular system is out of range. Now, the glandular system is the system that houses their adrenal glands. That's the system that helps them to sleep. That's the system that consists of, you know, the menopause issues stem from that particular system, a lot of your autoimmune issues. So if that system is out of range, of course, it's going to reflect in the hair. So that's what I like to do. We get to the culprit of what's actually going on versus just topically treating. So about a 97% of my patients that I treat have a nutritional deficiency, which, of course, is the major contributing factor to the hair loss. So by getting to that culprit, we're going to prevent them from, you know, spinning their wheels. Just like if someone has a circulatory system, you probably say, what does that have to do with hair loss? It has a lot to do with it, because if the circulatory system is out of range, then it's going to reflect in the hair, because the blood, you know, of course, the circulatory system controls the blood. And if there is a blockage or inflammation in the body, the blood is flowing to the papilla. The papilla is what feeds the actual hair follicle. So, again, if there is a blockage, then, of course, that's going to block the hair growth and cause, you know, hair loss, et cetera. So, huge. You know, our body systems, that's a, you know, like I said, if it's something that's out of range, then it's going to reflect in the hair. Our hair is the barometer of our health. So pretty much if you have some type of, you know, a major health condition, or if something is out of range, it's going to reflect in the hair first.
And what did you say was that 97% in terms of some kind of diet deficiency, if you will,
That's...
Oh, absolutely. About 97% of the patients I treat have a nutritional deficiency, which, of course, contributes to the hair loss. This is, you know, just like if someone starts a diet, they may say, okay, Dr. James, I'm starting a new diet, you know, for the better, I'm trying to lose weight. You know, if you're starting a new diet, whether good or bad, you know, for the better or the, you know, the worse, is going to reflect in the hair because that's going to throw off your hormonal system, you know, your hormones. So if the hormones are out of range, then, of course, that's going to throw the glandular system out of range, which will reflect in the hair. So a balanced diet, you know, balanced hair care regimen, you know, eating a balanced meal, et cetera, making sure that you're getting your supplements in, et cetera, is major in achieving healthy hair because healthy hair is basic. So if the body is healthy, then the hair is going to be healthy.
It's hard, though, to get to that. That's why it's so important to have a great relationship with your stylist and a trichologist. Do folks need both?
I would say if the customer, say, for instance, someone came into the hairstylist and the hairstylist saw that the client was suffering from hair loss, then, of course, I would say yes. I would recommend them referring them to a trichologist. A lot of times when clients come in and they're experiencing hair loss or dandruff, you know, excessively or seborrheic dermatitis or any other, you know, psoriasis, any other type of scalp condition, normally the hairstylist would refer their client to a dermatologist. And, you know, not saying that a dermatologist can't help. Everyone has their place. But when they're sent to a dermatologist pretty much, derma means skin, trich means hair. So if you send your customer to a dermatologist, pretty much they're going to recommend more so a synthetic approach, you know, cortisone injections, topical treatments and solutions wherein they're not getting to the culprit of what's going on. They're just pretty much pacifying the problem. When you're dealing with hair loss issues, first you have to go in and stop the hemorrhaging. You know, I'm just kind of using an analogy here. But you have to, if you go in an emergency room, they can't operate on you until you stop the issue or, you know, you stop the hemorrhaging, then you can treat the wound. So that's the approach I take when I'm dealing with hair loss. You know, there's no one size that fits all. So I place my patients on a customized regimen.
Absolutely. And you can work in tandem with these dermatologists and these doctors. These medical doctors as well. So that's what's awesome.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, everyone has their place, yes.
Absolutely. Now, I want to talk about, I have to delve into hair loss because it's so huge. It's so huge. So I want to talk about some of the signs and for folks to recognize if they are suffering from hair loss. And as you mentioned, of course, they need to see a trichologist, of course. In most cases, but what are some of the early signs that they should look out for?
Early signs of hair loss, they would experience excessive itchiness or burning at the high crown, or if you are experiencing maybe a very small bald spot in an isolated area, like a perfect circle, that would be alopecia areata. That's normally caused by stress. So it affects the immune system, the autoimmune issue. So normally that will, you know, grow back once the stress is under control. But for the most part, if they're experiencing, you know, as I mentioned, a small bald spot that disappears out of some, you know, out of the blue, or excessive shedding or burning or itchiness uncontrollable in the scalp, then I would say yes, those are signs of early hair loss or just thinning, you know, thinning throughout the few thinning, you know, the hair is thinning and it's like, okay, what's going on? So those are early signs of hair loss. And when you're dealing with hair loss, treating the issue of getting to the culprit means a whole lot. Time is an essence when you're dealing with hair loss, because hair loss actually happens in stages, just like any major disease. You know, you have stage 1 through 4. So, of course, if you catch it in the earlier stages, you have a more of a greater chance of the hair being restored or, you know, actually stabilizing the hair versus the hair progressing, you know, the hair loss progressing.
Exactly. Wow. So that's very important. And with, like you said, with anything, the earlier that you can catch it and detected the greater chance of success, or, you know, to make it a little bit better or what have you, better
mm-hmm.
outcome, we should say.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, I want to talk about a little bit of this, and I remember from your interview here way back when, several years back, but I remember that you talked about, you know, the difference, because there was a whole thing where, and I just wonder, do you still feel that way today about that women kind of, you know, still kind of lag behind, so to speak, when it comes to reporting the hair loss as opposed to the guys? You know, we guys, we tend to, you know, kind of be out there a little bit, well, we were out there a little bit more with dealing with the subject of hair loss because of, like, male pattern baldness and all of this, that we kind of, it's just been out there and it's been almost anticipated and expected and almost accepted society-wise
for
guys. But for females, perhaps that might not have been the case or wasn't the case. Well, how do you feel today, and what do you speak to? How do you speak to that?
I'm very, I'm still pretty strong on what I mentioned, you know, the last
yeah.
time for just as a whole, you know, women suffering from hair loss or hair loss as a whole, they're behind about 10 years, you know, behind
wow.
with men.
Wow.
You know, normally their hair loss issues start in their 40s, wherein, you know, male hair loss starts, you know, many men that are, you know, suffering hair from hair loss or have early signs, you know, their signs will start in their 20s. But as for being more accepted, I would say yes, with the men, definitely is more accepted. However, with my female clients, they have more support. I feel like that they support one another more than men. Men are more private about it, so they're not going to have a conversation with another guy, you know, saying I'm going bald. I need some help. Do you know anyone that can help me? Or what type of treatments are you using for your balding issues? So women are more open about it within their circle. Wherein men are more private. So anytime that I do a consultation with a male versus a female, normally when the male comes in and I express to them what's going on and I share with them, you know, what is needed to restore their hair, normally, you know, they take a little bit longer to make a decision. So what I actually do is I take a picture of the hair. Well, this is what I used to do. Now that we have more advanced technology, you know, back in the day, I used to just take like a picture, Polaroid picture, and just let it sit there and develop. And I step out of the consultation room, and by the time I come back, they've taken a look at it to see, because a lot of them don't realize that, okay, this is major, until they actually see a picture of what's going on.
That's right.
So now what I do is I offer a microscopic analysis where we can, you know, take a look at the follicle activity under the microscope. So that just kind of brings everything to real life, if that makes sense. So they can see exactly, you know, what's going on. And it just kind of brings everything in and gives them a clearer picture.
Like
if that makes
that.
Sense. They can kind of see, they can kind of see what stage that they're in, what's happening, you know, at the follicle area or in the scalp.
Wow. And that's actually very good because then, but at the same time, it can be a little surprising. And I've seen some of those analysis, and boy, oh boy, some of those on the screen, it can really shock you.
Absolutely.
Well, I've got to tell everybody, and I love how you used to always talk about identifying the curl pattern and all of that. And I still think it's very interesting. And, you know, in terms of, you know, letting it help you to figure out what types of products and all that, hair products and all of that. And would you be able to just share that again with our audience, Dr. Brittany James? Just tell everybody again about the identification. That would be great.
Well, absolutely. You know, everybody's into natural hair now. I think it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. So a lot of the consumers have went natural, and a lot of them are still product junkies. And you hear me talk about this all the time. They're just using any and everything on their hair. First of all, when you go natural, you still have to maintain the health of your hair, you know, making sure that you're getting your proper shampoos, conditioners, leave-ins, et cetera. However, you want to make sure that you are using a system that works in unity. And what's going to help to determine your outcome is identifying your curl type first. That's going to take the guesswork out of what products are going to work best for you. Just because you're seeing someone on YouTube doesn't mean, you know, and their hair looks great, doesn't mean your hair is going to turn out like that, you know, with the products that they use. So the first step, especially when you are completely natural, is to identify your curl type. Once you identify your curl type, whether it is, you know, in the 3 or the 4, normally, you know, African-American hair is either going to be level 3 or 4, then we have the A, B, C curl type. So, of course, the A's are going to be more of a looser pattern, you know, a straight wavy, and then midway B, and then C is a little bit tighter, okay? And then when you identify either 3 or 4, that's getting more into the texture itself. But back to the question, or addressing the question that you asked, once they identify that curl type again, that's going to say, hey, you know, my hair needs a little, if it's tightly coily, and of course you want to, say for instance, you're 4B. That's tight and coily. So you want to actually use products or a product line that's going to give you more elongation or stretch to the hair. Normally when someone is 3C, then that's a little bit more frizzy. So you may want to use something, however, your hair is more finer in the 3 category. So, of course, you don't want to use, like, your heavier creams. You want to use something that's going to give you flow, airiness to the hair, but also prevent the hair from becoming frizzy and, you know, dry looking. So you want something that's, of course, going to define. So you use more of your mousses and your setting lotions in the 3 category, and then when you get into the 4s, you can start incorporating your creams. And there are, of course, there are tons of products on the market, and a lot of consumers are confused. But like I said, once they determine what their hair type or curl type is, again, that's going to take the guesswork out of what they need. In the 4s, they'll use more of the creams, and whether it be something, you know, they want more definition, or if they want more elongation, that's something that can be determined by looking at the label on the product, and it'll pretty much tell you or not this product is a defining gel or defining cream gel, or this is something wherein is going to give your hair more stretch, like a stretching cream.
Well,
and, you know, that's pretty much it. Once you identify, that'll take your guesswork out of, you know, what's going to work best for you. It just depends on what product line, you know, you want to go with, whatever your preference is from there.
Absolutely. What's great about it is that that's something that you can help to, you can certainly speak to your hairstylist about to help you with that.
Definitely.
Right? I'm just loving this. Well, Dr. Penny James, we have to tell everybody. Now, folks, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I am on the line with, I call it the legendary Dr. Penny James. I absolutely do. And you've just been with us at shows and just have done so much in the way of leading the trichology folks out there and also helping so many folks with your wonderful shop out there and the clinic and all of that. So now tell everybody, you are located where? Where are you located these days and all that good stuff?
Well, actually, you know, pretty much I've been global, and I'll get into that in a moment to kind of bring everyone up to speed. But my central location, I'm located in the beautiful city of Virginia Beach, Virginia, in the Hampton Roads area. So that's pretty much my central location. But I travel all over the world, actually. I've traveled quite a bit from here, between here and Nigeria. So I've pretty much kind of went global now. So
I see. Now, we've got a yeah. Yes, well, we have to say how honored we are. I mean, my goodness, you've done lots of changes since we've last checked in with you.
Absolutely,
Dr. Penny James.
So
now I want to talk about this new name, the Beard Huntress. You've got to tell us what that's all about.
Yes.
The Beard Huntress. Okay, I'm loving it.
You know, that kind of, I actually kind of, I don't know how to put this, but I came across, it started out as a really fun project for me, but I didn't think it was going to go as far as it has went or taken me thus far. I started out with a beard care company, and I started treating male beards, you know, and it was quite different, you know, from my average day-to-day work that I do as for treating hair loss, et cetera. So I began to like it. I'm like, okay. And then once I start to brand myself as the Beard Huntress, why trust your beard to anyone else? And then with my logo, it's like, okay, I was getting all these bearded guys, you know, requesting my services. And then I'm like, okay, well, beards are is hair.
Exactly.
It's simply hair. Same, you know. So I just took the same approach that I used towards hair loss to actually start growing in their beards. I mean, I would get guys to come in that had problem issues, balding spots in their beard areas, or they may have, you know, they had seborrheic dermatitis or even, you know, eczema or, you know, psoriasis within the beard area. So I just took the same approach, and I've had such success with this tier of my business to the point where, and I took it globally over to Nigeria, and I prior to the pandemic, I was due to conduct the Nigerian Beard Festival, wherein I had crowned, I was going to crown the Beard King of Nigeria. So I have a huge audience over there, and even here in the United States and even in Europe, just from the Beard Huntress concept. So it has definitely taken me really, really far and opened up a lot of other opportunities, and I love it. This is a fun project to me. And it's so rewarding to see the guys grow their beards out so healthy and so forth, and to see all this eye candy around me. I love it. I love it.
Well, this is where we are definitely going to explore all of that, especially on this end where we kick off our amazing beard magazine. We already know who we're going to first.
So excited.
This is going to be awesome. We're just so excited. And Nigeria. So talk a little bit about what's happening over there in terms of the hair industry. It's a little different than here in America, but maybe you can shed some light on that.
Oh, absolutely. My last visit to Nigeria, I actually went on a tour. I did more pop-ups as you're trying to get to know the market. It is quite different. It's a harder market, but once they get to know you and you brand yourself, they love you. They love you. They're very loyal, but it takes a little time to break the ice. Whatever you're doing, you know, whatever products you're recommending to them, they have to truly know that it works. And, you know, once you get a few people, like influential people over there, you know, getting them to use your products, then everyone else pretty much kind of falls in line, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I went over there. My goal was to research the market, so I connected with a lot of the beauty industry professionals, such as your barbers, your your hairstylists, a lot of salon owners, makeup artists, et cetera, and was very successful with connecting with them. My goal was to connect more so, like I said, with a lot of the influencers. And once I connected with them, it was like, okay, it just really took off. So the challenge over there is the hair care product is very limited. So when you bring a product over there that truly works, they're very, very receptive because they don't have a lot of options there. In addition, we actually did a survey to see exactly what they were looking for, what were their issues in the hair care industry. And, of course, the first issue or challenge was hair loss. They want that's in demand. They want product that's going to help the hair grow. The other issue was hair color. Those were the two issues. And just having a dependable, hair care line, the weave on, they call it weave on. Of course, we call it, tracks or, weave or so. They call it weave on. That's very much in demand. And you would think over there they would charge more for braiding, but you can get a whole head full of single, tiny, tiny micro braids for like $20.
$20, did you say?
$20, yes, you can get, and they're very, very nice.
Wow. We're heading over to Nigeria.
Yes, everybody, like, let me get my hair braided. But they charge more for hair weaving, hair weaving and lace, the lace wigs, the hair replacement units are huge over there. So, but for the most part, I love the market. It's a new market for me. It's a challenge. Right now I have a Nigerian hair care business group on WhatsApp that put together, organized, that's been very, very successful and is growing because I really want to reach the beauty industry. It's very important that they know that they're worth more than what they're charging. So I'm going to be offering a lot of business classes on how to, charge, how to brand themselves. You know, if they, like the barbers, they're cutting hair for very little over there. They're very talented. They just need some help as for the branding. A lot of them, I was talking with some of the barbers, I'm like, if you just add a little bit more, slow down, add a little bit more detail to your work, you know, you can make a, you know, a little bit more. You know, you may reduce the amount of customers that you're servicing, but you could charge more. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward. I'm going to be conducting a lot of, when I return, when they open the country, I'm going to be returning back, and the goal is to conduct hair or beauty industry summits, introducing, like I said, the business and so forth. So I'm looking forward to that. I have a lot of projects that are on standby right now based upon, you know, once everything opened back up that I've planned or put into action.
Yes, well, I can already see that the next year is going to be a huge, huge, huge year for you, as always.
Yes.
And
yes,
you're always planning some amazing things. So I have to say, what are some of the next big steps right away? Like, what's this thing? If they're announced, everybody's open tomorrow. Are you going to just catch a flight on out of here?
I am. Yes, I am. I'm on standby. All they have to do is give me the go. Yes, I'm out of here.
I tell you. Well, I have to say, you know, when it comes to setting hair goals and talking about hair loss and working with these amazing folks over in Nigeria and working with the gentlemen in beards, we just say you stay busy. You really do. So we are just amazed. Now, how can our folks out there, again, look you up? How can they, of course, connect with you? Now, of course, they can do it through the Hair Radio Morning Show and our app.
Mm-hmm.
But how what would you also tell them they can also catch up with you?
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Hunt. I'm Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Jim McAllister, it is so great to have you back with us right here on the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It is always my pleasure. You come to us all the way from the state of California, sunny old California, 3,000 miles away from me right here in Brooklyn, New York. But again, it's my pleasure to welcome you back this morning. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, it's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And I call you Miss Hey. That's
Hello.
Your tagline. Yeah, right there on the broadcast. So always great. Well, listen, I want to kind of talk about this this morning because it goes back. We did such a great piece out here on the at-home stylist. And I call that at-home stylist one. So today, it's all about the journey of the at-home stylist. I thought we should do a follow-up to that. It was so popular and such a great topic. And right now, it is current. It is, you know, relative. And it's where we are right now with everything that's kind of going on. So I wanted to kind of lead on off with everything about at-home stylist part two on the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show with my guest, Ms. Keisha McAllister. So again, great topic and great to have you with us. Let's jump on in.
Yes.
Now, first, can you just tell everybody what is and what or who is an at-home stylist and how does that differ from someone who is, say, a cosmetologist?
Well, your at-home stylist, Carrie, and thanks for asking, is basically someone at home who, and I'll say I kind of started that way, usually doesn't want to go to the shop or is nervous about going to the shop or doesn't know about going to the shop or the salon. And so they tend to use the options that are either in your grocery store, in your department store. You know, they have products for us everywhere, plus the beauty supply and things like that. So a lot of times these will be, a lot of times they'll be women. They'll be women with lots of aunts or, or sisters or cousins and things like that. And it tends to be a big group of women. And there's usually a braider in there. And then there's someone who can press hair. And then you have someone who understands relaxing or straightening hair. So, and then they just kind of switch up with whatever style is going on. I remember my aunt used to do her own hair in the kitchen, and she would relax it and then put some bleach patches on it.
Man.
I know, but this was like 1983, you know, so there was a lot going on.
It was a different world then, yeah.
Definitely. Wow. But that is the kitchen beautician. But most times they actually start off as a braider a lot of times.
And that's how they kind of get comfortable with the idea and notion of doing hair in the home. Now, a lot of that these days has been where the the at-home stylist is performing hair care services in their own home or going out and literally visiting the home of the client, of their customer. And I just, I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, I remember back in the day when we kind of came along in the 90s with this broadcast, the folks were scared to do hair, so to speak. And I'm in the Northeast, you know, doing it at home. You know, the state board, everybody was afraid of getting in trouble back then. But that was long before there was a such thing as the internet, which shook up everything,
right,
in my opinion. So the at-home stylist, is this someone who is now a lot more comfortable with the notion and the idea of performing these services at home or in a home-based type situation, unlike the days of the past, way back when? What do you say, Keisha? Any opinion on that?
Well, I will say this. I think you do have there are a lot of people who are comfortable doing hair at home, especially now with the internet and being able to go on, multitude of social media and learn something or see something. And you have some people that are at home who are naturally gifted with their hands and they don't need to watch a video. They can just see the pattern and make it happen. So what I say about, and I've been I grew up as a kitchen beautician.
A kitchenician, we say.
A kitchenician in the East Coast. I call a kitchen beautician, but in my area, at one point I had actually worked out of my home as a licensed stylist.
Now we're not saying
okay,
folks?
No, we're not saying to do this, but as a licensed beautician, stylist, I did it out of my home. And and at one point I was doing house calls because I had to, and I was working in the salon, but I was taking care of family. So it took a lot to make things happen. And I was working in all sorts of places. Even in my own space, right? So you do have some people who are more comfortable with being at home or have been in the salon and then take
you know, they do a setup and they're able to get something approved by the city. It just depends on, you know, their building permits and things like that.
And where you
in
are.
Whatever
and all
city
of that.
That, right, and where you are. So okay, that's what you need to, but the main thing is to be like, oh, we're going to go to be licensed.
Right. That should be the goal.
The goal.
And listen, folks, you know, this is a big topic. And first of all, Keisha, I appreciate that you're so forthright, you know, and to be honest, because a lot of folks will not admit or perhaps may not be so forthcoming about starting off as an at-home stylist.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's no shame or any of that. I think that you're speaking to a vast majority of hair people who began doing hair organically as a youngster. So
mm-hmm.
thank you. And you're doing, you know, and you're leading the charge. Now, why was it so important to you to shift from being an at-home hairstylist and being unlicensed to becoming and pursuing getting your license? Was that important to you, and why did you do it?
Well, actually, it was very important. It was important to me, but I was afraid to do it. I had actually worked a regular 9-to-5 job, but had been doing hair since I was 15. So when I finally decided to go for my license, I actually started as an apprentice in the salon, and it wasn't from an apprenticeship from a school. It was an apprenticeship from the state of California bar.
Mm.
I mean, you know, cosmetology.
Wow.
Barbering and cosmetology, right, board. And we had to basically go to class once a week and then work in the salon. And I learned a lot, but the one thing that my clients, because I had a whole bunch of at-home clients, they, you know, just from everywhere, they would see people walking down the street, who did your hair, you know? And I was still working my regular day job, and I had friends saying, Keisha, go get your license. Just go get it. It's okay. Just go get it. And I'm like, I'm used to punching the clock. I'm used to doing this. You know, I'm used to doing that. But once I made the move, I moved into something that has always given me peace and joy. And I can do it for free, or I can do it for $1 million. I can do it sick or well. So once you get into something that you feel that is a part of you, not just a piece of you, but definitely a part of you, then it becomes very important to complete it. Now, what you do with it after that is up to you, but at least go experience it, and then find out if this is your full-time thing, you know, your purpose. And I feel like my purpose is to help people feel beautiful. No matter how you walked in, if you get to look fly when you walk out. And feel good about yourself. Yeah.
And feel good about yourself. I love it.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Keisha, what were some of the challenges when you did make that jump from being an at-home stylist to being licensed? Were there any challenges?
You know what the main challenge was? Not to gossip.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Not to gossip? Really?
Not
so
to gossip.
So there's that much gossip
about the
head.
Yes, they're really well. It wasn't the internet back then. It was regular folks. It was everything. You know, all the people we knew. And if I was going to do
that
full time, I need
you
to
want
do it.
Things to get around. Tell a hairstylist. You don't remember? You guys?
No, I don't.
Oh God!
You know what?
That was big out here saying that.
No, I've never heard that.
Okay, I believe that. Don't kill me, my friend.
No.
Okay.
I believe it because it takes you to change your mind.
Mm.
So you don't get into that, you know, the reputation or the what's the word I want to use?
What?
The thought that that being a hairstylist is about gossiping and popping guns.
Oh, right, the stereotype.
You know,
oh, yeah.
The stereotype. Thank you. And it's not about the stereotype. It's definitely about the passion and the love and the purpose of doing this thing. Definitely. Yeah, so gossiping was the main thing I had to stop doing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's that's a big part of the thing. Even when I write a play, and I guess I'm kind of somewhat guilty of it, I'm releasing our play out there on the Salon. And whenever we, you know, do that, we are feeding into a lot of the stereotypes with our little characterizations of the stars. That just comes with the territory.
But oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Definitely.
But I think that's a good thing, too, and it can be entertaining. As long as it doesn't go too far.
Yeah, the thing is that I'm not going to be the one to gossip. So I don't care if anybody else is
like
around. I'm not grabbing.
Now, you ain't heard it from me, but.
No. No, I will say it that way. You ain't heard it from me, but.
Listen, guys, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines in Brooklyn, New York. My very special guest today is someone who you guys have gotten to know really, really, really well. Here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. She comes to us from 3,000 miles away, and she's what I like to say, one of our famous Keishas. We have so many who are on the show, and everybody's Keisha. But you're Keisha McAllister from Fairfield, California. I want to say up north in the northern part of the state. And you have done quite a few things with us on our Ask a Hair Stylist specials. And Ask a Stylist specials we've had right here on the show, where we have kind of fielded your questions out there, guys. And Keisha's been really great and responding without knowing the subject matter in advance. So you've always done a great job. Yeah. And today it's been about, it really is, it's about doing our wonderful part two about Ask a Hairstylist. So I am so excited to have you with us on the show today. It really is quite amazing. So real nice. Now, Keisha, I just wanted to, before we go, I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the things that you're looking for, just to kind of revisit them, because it's been a while since we've chatted and had a chance to chat with you on this level. But what are some of your long-term goals? Where would you like to see? What's the end game, so to speak, professionally for Keisha McAllister?
Well, I would like to travel the world, go globally and do mortuary work. I want to do, I want to be ordered for the departed with hair and makeup. Yeah, that's one thing I like to do. I mean, now that I'm getting older, my body's all the wear and tear on my shoulders and all that other stuff and my leg or my ankle or whatever, to get into a space where I can still help a family, you know, put their loved one away or say goodbye while they're and help their loved one look like themselves. That's the main thing.
Just an extension of using your gifts to help a family at a very difficult time.
For your loved one not to look like themselves is a hard pill to swallow.
It is. And I've experienced it. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We've been there. We all know what that's like. Well, listen, Keisha McAllister, I'm so happy to have you with us on the show, and we're just going to keep on continuing. I want to remind folks that you've been with us. You're one of our great hairstylists that's associated with the Hair Radio Morning Show. The next big thing for all of us is to put this big panel together for all of our friends who are everywhere along the spectrum. So I can't wait. Now, I do want to ask you, what are your thoughts about AfroLock Magazine? You know it's coming out very soon, if it isn't already out for you guys. What do you want to say about the idea of us now having a magazine that's devoted to Black culture? So what does that mean to you, Keisha McAllister?
It means a lot, Carrie, definitely, because I came up in a time where, you know, we had Essence and Ebony and all that, but to see, but in those magazines were different types of beauty, you know, perspectives. Granted, you know, lifestyle and all that, but for Afrolock, I'm excited because it not only is a representation or represents us as a culture, as a people, but it also will give those, even with that maybe biracial, who have Afro hair, multiracial who have Afro hair and have to deal with different textures and things like that. It'll definitely give them a place to go, but mainly it's beautiful to see beautiful, you know, beautiful Afro hair on the cover, through the magazine, through the pages or whatever. It's a beautiful thing. I'm definitely looking forward to the premiere.
And we're hoping you will continue on your journey and be a big part of Afrolock magazine. So thank you for that. Great words of encouragement. Okay, so we're going to continue to make sure, and you guys can follow Keisha right here at our wonderful website at hairadio.com. Keisha McAllister, we are all big fans of yours. Keep doing what you're doing. We're going to be checking in with you real soon. I'm excited. All right, folks, stay with us. We got a lot more to get to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
When you become successful, everybody wants you to be successful till you're successful.
That's right.
Then once you're successful, everybody wants to tear you down. They want to tear down a performance. They want to tear down what you said. They want to criticize you here. They want to find a bad thing to say about you. So you got to just keep walking. And your self-worth has to be strong enough that when everybody's trying to attack you, because they want to be you, and the only way they can be you is they rip you. And you have to be strong enough to take those attacks. You've just got to be strong enough. And when you're strong enough and you get who you are, man, what a life.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are making black progress. Stay tuned.
That I have profited more from the negative as opposed to the positive.
Really?
Yes, because...
Negative experiences?
Yes, absolutely. I really relish and treasure them more than positive, because if I have been able to survive it and reach another level, that has given me more growth, more strength, more confidence.
Yes.
It has enriched my life more, and that's why I treasure them more.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula
stylist that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Kerapi, and we thank you. Please register at Kerapi.com and join our Kerapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Kerry Hines. Thank you.
The funny thing about strong people is that they don't need you. They choose you. And if you ever take them for granted, they'll be content without you.
Oh, we know, Kerry. We're dealing with producer extraordinaire. So when we dealing with you, Kerry Hines, it ain't no such thing as it's gonna be aight. No, it's never gonna be aight. It's always gonna be excellence, Kerry. Because that's what you do, man. You bring out the excellence in all of us. You make us step up to the plate. And you bring out us being professional at doing this. That's what you do, man. I mean, that's what you do. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Absolutely. I agree, and I think it's trusting Kerry, too. Like, you can't open up or can't be 100% honest if you don't trust the host or trust the person who you're dealing with. And I think that's the camaraderie there. Everybody trusts Kerry, and then we trust each other.
Thank you for your interest in promotion with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines. We're the longest-running daily hair radio show in the history of broadcasting, 27 years and counting. If you're looking for affordable and effective advertising that specializes in the needs of small boutique businesses that really have to be careful where they place their promotions budgets, here it is. Hair Radio is the hair and beauty industry's best friend. The Hair Radio Morning Show reaches millions around the world and your next-door neighbor. If you have a new hair product line or having a hair event, let us create a radio commercial for free. Maybe you need to increase your profile in the hair industry. Then why not be featured as a guest on our show? Or let us write a book to tell your story. Take a look at these low rates. Select from our plan features on the left that include radio show commercials to guest appearances on the show. Then take a look at what meets your budget on the right. Ah, amazing. The Hair Radio Morning Show airs weekdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
All right, it's Thursday morning, June 22nd of 2023. Yes, I'm Kerry Hines, and just Dashna, it has been a morning. It is so good to be with you guys. Happy mid-show. We still have a long way to go before the end of today's broadcast. And I want to bring to the line, of course, you guys know I'm in Brooklyn, New York, but I want to bring to the line my co-host from down in Water Valley, Mississippi. You guys know her. She is the queen of the morning, Nicole Marie. Good mid-show morning.
Good morning and happy mid-show.
Yes, it has been quite a morning. I'm dashing around. I'm literally, you guys know I run out to grab coffee and all that kind of stuff.
Every morning.
The broadcast for a couple seconds. To this particular morning, as I'm coming back through my door, I'm listening to today's broadcast. And during the mid-show, and it was, I heard my wonderful voice winding down, and I'm fumbling with my keys. I couldn't keep them straight to get in the door. Finally got the door unlocked and rushed in to be with you guys. It's a jam session every day here. You would think that I really, like, I'm late to get up, and I never get up late, like very, very, very rarely.
You're up before everyone,
Gary. Yeah, and this morning was no exception. Yeah, I still rise early. The most I'll do is maybe just kind of sit back a little bit and rest my body. But no, I rise early every single time of every day.
That's wonderful.
I don't ever even remember.
Well, I can't say
really
that I rise as early. I wake up probably about 4:45.
Get up that early. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's very good. I mean, you have a lot going on, and if you
right.
can wake up and do all that stuff early like you do, that's a great thing.
Right. Have my quiet time before everyone else gets up.
Yeah, I think I started going to bed very early, Nicole Marie, and I
uh-huh.
think that had such a profound impact. And so
okay.
I really don't get back up. I don't sleep all that long, so I think that is really what it's about. I go to bed fairly early by
right.
regular standards. And then, so by the time 4 o'clock in the morning comes around, I've already slept for like 6 hours at least.
Right, right.
And that's pretty good, yeah. You know,
and things change
and
as you get older, too, because I remember I could stay up all night and go during the day and be fine. But as you get older, that changes. But I'm still somewhat of a night owl,
but
I can still get up in the morning, too.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. No, I'm definitely not. But even when I was younger, I would still stay up, but I would still be tired.
Right.
I remember those days. So I used to start work at 4:30 in the morning or 3:30 in the morning at the airline. So I remember
right.
that. And that's another thing. I used to work those early hours. So
right.
I remember that very well. And, I don't know. I think it's great. I love being able to get up and be flexible. And I think, you know, I don't know, it's a little, but then you'll talk with me and I'll be a little tired during the day.
Right. Later on in the day.
You know,
but. During
yeah,
the morning, where it's
be.
Real quiet, you can get a lot done
yeah.
during that time. So,
well, there's
it's
so
great.
Much energy we bring to the broadcast. There's so
right.
much energy that the radio show allows us to have, and our adrenaline is running for 3 hours. So
right.
We're excited. And then once the show kind of ends at 9 o'clock New York time or 8 o'clock where you are, then we kind of crash a little bit.
Right.
You know, or we've been drinking coffee, and then as soon as the show's over, I'm like, So it's really kind of it's really kind of cuckoo, and we are used to it now. We've been doing this a long time. You know,
yeah.
today, actually, tomorrow's a celebration show. Tomorrow's our 870th 3-hour broadcast.
Wow.
870.
That's amazing. Amazing,
that's
amazing. We're on our way. Yes, it is.
That's a lot of shows. That's
a lot
of mornings that I've gotten up at 4 o'clock.
It sure is.
Really?
Sure is.
A lot. I mean, by anybody.
But it's wonderful,
standard.
Though.
Yeah, well, we do it for our fans, our amazing folks who tune in.
Yeah.
And
we love you and thank you so much.
Yeah. We really do. You guys have really inspired us as well. We try to provide you with inspiration, but I think it's been the other way around. And we
That's
are
so
just
true.
Excited. Yeah.
Fans
so,
keep us moving.
No,
keep us going.
Keeping us going. Today, we've got some good stuff going on. In the next hour, we're going to take some time. And I know we're supposed to have some surprise callers or two, but we'll see how that goes.
Oh, great.
But in the meanwhile, I want to do something. We're going to go and talk about some of the other little wonderful things that we've kind of discovered. We'll probably also get to a brand new Talk of the Morning. So that would
right.
be really nice. Maybe we could do that around 8 o'clock or 7 your time, Nicole Marie. And just kind of, you know, chit-chat a little bit, catch up with everybody, talk about the
Wonderful.
Incredible Afro-Lock. You guys have seen where I put up about Miss Camille Friend, who
yeah.
is an Academy Award nominee. I bet I have
That's
to
wonderful.
Say, guys, I love, well, there was something that you put up yesterday that really caught my attention, and I just loved it so much because it really spoke, to me, I felt it was speaking to me.
Oh, okay.
I really did. But it's speaking to everybody, but I felt it was speaking, because what it says, and you had reposted someone's post that says, let's normalize telling people you inspired me instead of
exactly.
copying them and acting like they're your competition. And, oh, boy, I could say that in 10 different languages. Because
right.
it is exactly, I was so surprised to see that, and I said, wow. And I'm not the only one who feels like that. I was shocked to find that others feel the same way.
Yes. Well, Eric, Carrie, each one of us is unique and has our own gifts and talents. You don't need to copy anybody. We're all an original. From the way that we look, to the way that we talk, to everything. So be yourself. Just be you.
Yeah, what I think it is, I think it has to do with insecurity. I think
yes.
there are folks in the positions that they have who probably shouldn't be there. And one in particular who, as soon as I put up about Camille coming to the show, she went, couldn't wait to, you know, and I'll bet you it'll be out, where she's already trying to reach her and put out the stories and stuff. I can't share anything. I can't on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that, because the level of skills that I have, I believe this to be, and it's not bragging or anything like that, but
right.
What I put out is so original and unique that many of the people follow me, not to support me, but to kind of see what I'm doing, so that it can, so that they can kind of go and. Yeah,
exactly.
And not in a good way, because in a good way, when you discover or somebody turns you on to something, then you acknowledge them in a certain way. You can just tell. But when I look and I put something up and I see and within 20 minutes somebody has the same exact thing that you
exactly.
know they couldn't think of if their life depended on it. Or
exactly.
you put up a certain design and somebody's trying to copy that, and it just gets
right.
so
But you know what, Gary, if somebody copies something that you're doing, that you have, it's not going to be the same, because it's not what
you
created was
your
heart, your passion,
right? Exactly.
So it's not
going to
turn out the same.
Have your individuality. Absolutely.
Not
going to
have the same effect.
Correct. Very often it's 10 times, you know, worse, or it's nothing like
exactly.
what you have said to, because
exactly.
it's not organic to them. But I will
right.
tell you this, I believe that you know, I know a couple of the folks who are actually guilty of this. And so
wow.
I'm just going to try to, because I see it often. And
right.
It's
so sad,
it's
because
cool.
people act like you don't recognize what they're doing.
They
it's
don't
like,
care.
Come on, I see you.
They don't care. And even I feel awful. Like if I reshare something, see something
uh-huh.
from somebody, it is very, very rare that even a social media post, I say, I'm sharing this. I say,
right.
good. And I think we probably have to talk about social media etiquette, because I think some people don't know. When somebody
right.
posts something and you want to take that post and share it to your own social media following, that's great. That's what it's all about. That's what social media is about.
Right.
And that's using
right.
it effectively. When you attempt to share it, take a moment to give a like to whomever you're getting the item from.
Exactly.
Take a moment to do that. And if you have another moment, let them know, you know, hey, this is so good, I'm sharing this.
Right.
I usually put the word sharing right away.
Right.
Even if I take it, save it to my information, and then share it, I usually do all kind of stuff to let folks know, thank you. When you see somebody with a new profile picture, I don't care what the picture looks like. I am giving them a like and just saying, I see you.
Exactly.
There are all kinds of little things that you can do that just makes life a little bit easier for folks.
Right,
and
that
social
are positive.
Media, yeah. Oh, absolutely, that are positive and can really help make a difference. And so, you know, I just hope that we are practicing this kind of these kinds of interactions when we use social media, because it is social media can be a humdinger if you're not using it correctly.
Be used in such negative way.
Yes, and that's and it gets really kind of tiresome. But yeah, we're doing great this morning. I'm so excited. Mike will be up in about 10 minutes.
Now, Carrie, I just want to send thoughts and prayers to you in Paris. They had that explosion where those people were killed and hurt, and then also in China they had an explosion. So just want to send thoughts and prayers out to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also again
bad.
To the missing submarine, you know, still sending thoughts and prayers out to them as well.
They're talking about running out of oxygen.
Yes,
there
were so many hours. Yes.
Yeah, just they are, you know, estimating. But I don't know. Folks have already started letting them have it on social media.
I know, in a negative way.
I thought I was kind of harsh, but no, they have gone in on these folks because it's hard for us to imagine that there's some individuals who, what we call extreme tourism, they love to do things, you know, risk their lives. And they're aware that they're risking their lives.
Exactly.
I just had a problem with the fellow who took his young son there with him. Not too young, but young man.
Yes.
And I don't think that was the wisest of things to do. But again,
so
I liken it almost to religion. That's the way I look at it. Because I think, you know, the parents, you believe what you believe, and it's likely you're going to encourage your children to follow suit. That's just normal behavior.
So I think
that extreme kind of thinking, you know, going twice as far. First of all, you had me at the Grand Canyon. If you tell me it's as deep as the Grand Canyon, I'm not going.
Oh, God.
That's a trip you're not going to see me go on.
Oh, God.
And you said twice as deep.
13,000 feet,
enough.
I believe it was, that they said. 13,000 feet. And,
listen,
Carrie, yesterday I saw on the news they were showing pictures of, like, the inside of the submarine. And it looked like, you know, anybody getting in there, you're just sitting on, like, a little mat. And five people just sitting in there.
Well, what they said is that it's about the size of an SUV or one of those, it's a very, that only one person could stand up at a time to stretch his legs.
Wow.
Now, the whole trip is supposed to be about 2 or 3 hours. So it wasn't meant for them to be down there for all this time.
For so long.
And they lost. Yeah. But you know what? I look at this and I say to who is supposed to be monitoring this kind of thing. It shouldn't even be allowed.
Right.
It shouldn't even be allowed to be in the water. You know, just rickety, rackety stuff thrown together. It's just, you know, and taking lives down there and letting them charge money.
A whole lot of money. I said $250,000 apiece. Now, you have plenty of time and money on your hands, but come on. Some things you just, especially, you know, with the Titanic, there are so many pictures and videos. And, I mean, we can go to YouTube and see so much.
Well, I remember when I was a flight attendant, and I remember that I forget where I was going, but I was traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I remember that the plane flew over the Grand Canyon. And I had never seen the Grand Canyon other than on the Brady Bunch. And I'd never seen the actual Grand Canyon. And when I looked out, the pilots were like, oh, do you guys want to get a look at the side of the plane? I glanced through the window, and that was good enough for me. I literally glanced, and I got back in. I don't like those kinds of big openings in the earth, all that kind of stuff. I just don't understand the thinking. I just hope and pray, like you said, for these people, and hopefully they're safe and their families. Yeah, because it is devastating. I don't know what to say. It's pretty deep, especially when you think it didn't have to be.
Exactly.
And then on top of that, they're risking the lives of others.
Right. There are so many people out there searching for them. And, oh, goodness.
Exactly.
It's been, you know, just all week, so many people have been out there.
Exactly, Nicole. That's what the behavior causes. You endanger others.
Right.
You know, so that's the thing. It's just, you know, we're going to continue to look carefully at this and see, but yeah, the folks are going in on them, and I don't know if they're so wrong. I think maybe just the timing right now, it's not the time to do that. There'll be plenty of time for investigations later. And so once we hear, you know, really identify what's happening and all of that stuff. Well, listen, I have been, well, let me tell you, it is the first day of summer. Day of summer.
Yesterday,
summer was ushered in. Yeah, so today's the first full day. So I got a few summer songs for you guys a little later. Yeah, you know, some summer things just to kind of brighten spirits. Here in New York, it's kind of damp and rainy, and like, I don't know what happened to spring, summer, winter. I don't know.
They're all like, mixed up. You never know what you're going to get.
You don't know what you're going to get, and you may not get anything. we didn't have any winter here in New York.
Exactly.
You know? So it's kind of cuckoo. Well, listen, why don't we get Michael Hopkins in the mix this morning? It's weird. It doesn't feel like a Thursday.
It does not. But we're moving right along.
That we're doing. Okay, so guys, stay with us. We've got a long way to go this morning. We'll be right back.
Kerry Hines here with big news about Afrolock Magazine. Afrolock Magazine truly unlocks the richness and complexity of Black culture, providing a platform for Black voices to be heard and celebrated. Now, if you are just hearing about Afrolock Magazine for the first time, here is a quick backstory. Now, I had worked for another brand for a while, doing everything from design work to producing their 24-hour radio network, and it was an awesome experience. But I felt I could build my own publication, and it would be more meaningful to our broadcast fans. Well, we've been working hard, and so I am so proud of this product. Really should be called Inclusivity, because that's what it represents. Now, haven't you read magazines in the past and may have found it difficult to connect with the stories and even their advertisements or whatever their message was intended to be? Well, I don't like that feeling, and I'll bet you don't either. So enter Afrolock Magazine. Now, it takes the best stories, the best design work, and most of all, your interest in hair, beauty, wellness, entertainment, community, and so much more. Get your subscription today, just $24.99 for an entire year. You receive a new issue of Afrolock Magazine each month. Go to afrolockmagazine.com today. That's A-F-R-O-L-O-C-K, afrolockmagazine.com today. Check it out.
Ooh, 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 ooh. feel like that's why most people don't have solid friendships, because mm-hmm. it's the proximity that has power over them yeah. instead of them having power over their proximity.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is if you go to work every day and you see the same people, well, I see you so often that now you've become my best friend. But you never really should have been my best friend. We're not actually in alignment. I just see you
I'm
comfortable enough that I start telling you things I shouldn't tell you. And so then we get mad when Sally goes and tells all our business.
Yeah.
Or we get mad when Sally goes and does whatever she does. But Sally's really just being Sally.
Yeah.
So
you didn't know Sally to begin with.
Right. I didn't get mad at Sally for being who she is. I
yeah.
just get mad at myself for putting Sally in best friend slot when she's not qualified.
That is good.
We need to stop qualifying people that are literally not putting in the work. They're just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Nola Pillard is the CEO, founder of Ashanti Enterprises. She's a professional hairstylist, business owner, educator, life coach, inspirational consultant, and author of the book, Adjusting Your Crown. Now, it's all about encouraging and inspiring individuals to establish their vision, set their goals, make adjustments daily if necessary, then accomplish those goals and fulfill their vision through hard work and trust in God. Her website is AshantiEnterprises.com. Now, she currently partners with Royce Noel of Noel's Barber Lounge, located at 2304 East Penhook, Suite E in Lafayette, Louisiana. She has mastered a variety of hair techniques in addition to providing facials, dermaplaning, eyebrow tinting, and waxing. Enola is also a certified trichologist and hair replacement specialist. Dr. Pillard believes her continual education is the key to providing excellent customer service. Therefore, she's obtained her bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in professional cosmetology to ensure that she's well prepared to provide the best service possible to her clients. Now, she understands the value of listening to her clients' wants and needs, which allows them, of course, to become part of their beautifying experience. Now, with many, many years of experience, Dr. Pillard provides professional results, which makes a difference in the lives of her clients, both inside and out. You can find Dr. Nola Pillard right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show and read all about her amazing industry profile in the latest edition of Afrolock Magazine.
Surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming. Two, slowly is the fastest way to get to where you want to be. And three, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next, so keep climbing.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new, Hair Radio Morning Show. It's Thursday, June 22nd. It's our broadcast number, 869. And let me bring to the line my amazing co-stars. You know them both, Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins. Michael is the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show, Tuesday mornings
Good
at
morning,
8:30
Michael.
Eastern, 7:30 Central.
Happy mid-show.
Good morning. Happy mid-show.
I was about to say, Michael, where are you?
Oh, I've been hanging out with you guys all this morning.
All right. Yes.
Well,
wonderful.
What have you heard, Hopkins? We've been on since 6 a.m. Eastern.
Wow. Wow. What have I heard? Well, one of the things I just wanted to talk about was you guys were talking about the submarine. And as Nicole said, we were sending out our prayers and for a safe and happy return of the families. But as you said, Carrie, this brings out another issue.
Of the men to the family.
Brings out another issue that you touched on, Carrie.
But a safe return would be good, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, it would be
happy.
Yes, most definitely.
It's kind of not looking too good on that front at the moment.
Right.
And
the issue, you know, Carrie Nicole Marie. The issue that I see, and Carrie, you kind of touched on it, and I think the word is called regulation or regulated. Does that sound about right, Carrie Nicole Marie?
Right.
When it comes to people doing adventures like this, where there's no kind of real.
Definitely, they're not safe. And because you're rich, you can afford it, doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah.
It's smart.
You know, some,
and
I
there
hate
were
to
some
say,
complaints
but, you know, the usual.
Previous employer, so.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah. You know, some government entity, some international entity, if there was something like that in place, then the standards. There's always some kind of standards that you should have.
Well, that standard really should be just common sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree with that. It should be common sense.
That's
but
true.
How do they say it, Carrie? Common sense sometimes ain't so common,
not so
right?
Common.
But they're at least just like with the shipping industry, the aircraft industry. You know, there's some standards. Even if it's minimum standards that should be met, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes other things come up, and the next thing you know, we have like what's going on now. And we have different countries are responding now, and they may not have the proper equipment. And
it's not even a guess at that, Michael. Other countries have offered to help. The issue is that it's so deep.
Right.
You know, the Titanic is pretty much stuck down on the bottom of the ocean.
On the bottom, yeah.
That's a lot.
Right.
No one has ever gone that deep to dive that deep or to go down that deep because it just defies common sense.
Right.
And then to see the Titanic, you know, I don't know what to kind of say. You know, these are thrill seekers.
And they want a once in a lifetime adventure. I guess
but that adventure cost them their lives. That's
exactly,
that's
what a thrill seeker does. They risk their lives and. You know, I said, my goodness, you really wanted to see the Titanic. What is it, the Titanic? Well, now you are the Titanic.
So sad.
We've got to think better, people. We've got to think better. I mean, where's the society? We just have to have a little bit better sense. My goodness.
Right.
I think the internet has really fueled all this behavior. The internet has fueled this extreme stuff, trying to one with everybody else.
That and all these reality TV shows and these adventure shows and you know, that kind of they have these shows on TV where maybe you couldn't go in the military and you couldn't be an elite warrior, but now on TV, you can experience all of this stuff and get paid money if you win being this elite warrior. And people kind of eat that stuff up.
Yeah.
Well,
everybody's trying to outdo each other.
Right.
Exactly. But you businesses, I'm going to talk to pretty much America outside the black community. Here's a really good way to gauge whether things are safe or not. if you're planning on doing sending up in the sky and all this stuff going into the ocean and who knows whatever else, well, let's say you're trying to just jump across the Grand Canyon, okay? If you're planning these things, if you don't see black people doing it, it ain't safe. It's not a good idea. If we don't do it, you shouldn't do it. That's the rule of thumb I have. If we don't do it, you don't do it. Then everybody be safe. That's how we roll.
Hey, sound like a plan to me.
No. You know, I just, it's just, we just
it's funny,
don't
but
do
it's true. So true.
Yeah, you know, if, you know, that's the barometer. You know, when those crazy folks who want to go and risk their lives, sit back and think, would my black neighbor do that? No. I'm going to stay home. And that's what you do.
Wow. You know.
Okay.
Yeah,
we
you got points there.
If those folks were poor or didn't have $250,000 and were black, we wouldn't be having that conversation.
Sure, they'd be going to the dollar store and getting one of them little dollar submarines and putting it in the tub. That's about it.
It's so true.
That's it.
I don't think we lost anything on the Titanic.
No.
Mm-mm. And let me tell you something. The extent of black folks getting a close-up look at the Titanic is us rerunning the movie.
Pretty much.
That's close enough to us.
Right.
That's
long
it.
As I
That's
can
it.
Hear. You know, long as I can hear Celine Dion singing that song, and Leonardo DiCaprio
right.
and the lady with their arms open. That's good enough for me. That's the Titanic. That's all I need to know.
But the thing
you know,
is,
we,
the pictures that they were showing, like the view from the submarine, you can see better watching a video. Like I said, on YouTube or something. But I guess just that experience of being right there. Being
oh,
under the water
yeah.
and seeing it in person, but forget that.
Yeah, they. And as you both know, you know, us as black folks in ships, you know, that's kind of not in our top 10.
Right.
With ships anyway, and out on the open sea. That ain't in our top 10.
Well, no. Because our ancestors were forced to be on
pretty much
exactly
against their will. For God
yep,
knows
how about that?
Like
yeah, and you know, Nicole and Carrie, even going on a cruise ship, you know, the black folk don't go near the railing at night. We don't play that.
Well, no, that's Michael.
No,
good dude. That's not true, Michael. And I've been on cruises. I've been on cruises, and I'm really a true case of being afraid of big bodies of water. So
me
I understand.
Too.
It is a little scary, but I don't think anybody should be on the railing of the cruise ship. And we're going on a cruise to celebrate our 1,000th show next year. But for
in
general, you know, we have seen those reports and things. I mean, it's not lost on anybody, but you got to think safety. And to me, you really got to be, you know, you're a grown up, so you got to be able to know how to maneuver.
Think
and
like
all
an
that.
Adult. You gotta
you got to
like
think
adult.
Like an adult.
And think
and
safety. That's
and
number
we're
one.
Real serious about that.
Very
we really
so
are.
Okay.
We have to. Yeah, I tell you. And I had a cruise. I was on a cruise with a balcony. We had our own private balcony, and we go out there, and it wasn't a whole lot that was separating you from those sharks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't
not
a whole lot.
At all.
So you gotta. You don't want to be all tipsy over there, you know, stumbling around.
Right. Yep.
And you certainly don't want to get into an argument with anybody. Ain't nobody.
You're gonna be a article on Dateline.
Exactly. You know, because they can kind of get away with almost anything on that. I shouldn't even say that. Let me just strike that from the record.
But things have happened, though. There have been incidents that have happened. So
very much so.
Well,
you just have to be careful.
That's true. Yeah,
but
and I think all of this
kind
of points to that. Yeah, it points to that safety stuff and that strange stuff out there.
And common sense.
And just faith, you know?
Yeah.
Common sense.
Yeah. Common sense.
You know?
Common sense.
You're on that
and
ship
that's
and, you know, lots of things
anything
going on the ship.
Like
you look out at the water, but there's so much to do on the ship. Get yourself inside and enjoy.
Right.
Don't be hanging out around
something
here,
like
but,
that.
You know, on the balcony.
We have a difficult time. Yeah, we have a tough time understanding the mindset of folks. Do all these crazy things and, you know, jump off cliffs and what is it, bungee jumping and all these strange things.
Daredevils.
daredevils. That's what they are. And now, should we feel sorry for daredevils? I think we should certainly feel sorry for them because time is running out. And I hope.
Right.
I've been just hoping, praying for a last minute. For the submarine folks, they found it. Then I heard about the sonar thing where they've detected some knocking. I'm sorry,
they
but I'm always
suspicious. They said that for the last couple
of
days, but.
Yeah, I'm like, if you got that, this is how my thinking is, if you got this equipment and you hear knocking, how come you can't determine how to get to it? I don't understand that. And, I mean, and how come you haven't played the knocking so that we could all hear it? Wouldn't that have been the first thing that most folks would have done is to put it out? Hey, this is what we've heard. You be the judge.
Yeah,
we haven't heard anything.
Sometimes. You know, sometimes with the military and the media, sometimes they have already, i.e. the military, they've already discovered certain things and done certain things, but they tell the media a different story while they have a backstory that they're working on. I've seen that time and time again. Being
well,
in the
Michael,
military,
I think we better err on the side of being safe and giving out good information.
Yeah, just
so
prayers up.
We can't really go there with things like that because we have to say things that we can substantiate for our listeners. So we want folks to have great pride in their service, as you do with what you've done. And concerned, we will just move along and we will hope and pray as the rest of the world watches. I'm sure they will probably break into reporting on television in terms of programming with an update in the next few hours. And we're going to see. And I just think we all have been just, you know, hoping for the best with these folks.
We really have been,
and I think we will continue to do so.
Something
that we do, talk about inspiration. Something that we do all the time, and that is to start. We usually start with our hope of the day. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to have Nicole Marie to lead in with our hope of the day. So stay with us, and we'll be right back with more from Miss Nicole Marie, Queen of the Morning. We'll be right back.
You wake up, and your house is a mess, and you decide to clean up your house, and doing it makes you feel better. That's a win. You need a pen, a Sharpie, and some Post-it notes. Every time I do a live for you guys, for me, that's a win. because honestly, I get very critical of myself and I just have to like put it aside. So I then take it off of here and I go put it up on my wall where I can see it. Every win you have, you put it on a post-it note and start creating your wall of wins so that you can see what you're accomplishing, so you can see what you're getting done, so you can stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start patting yourself on the back and giving yourself a reward for what you are getting done. Otherwise, you get to the end of the day and you feel like, I just didn't do anything. Because if you've been depressed for 3 days and you get up one day and you just to make breakfast for your family, that's a win. And you need to be able to see your wins, because your wins will inspire you to keep on winning. Your wins will inspire you to stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start focusing on what you are getting done, because everything starts to align and you start doing more. My Stewie says, go to bed with a plan, wake up with a purpose. And I always say, don't put more than 3 things that you want to accomplish the next day. And as you accomplish them, write them down and put them on your wall of wins. So that when a client says no on a job, or you call and they said they're going to send you a check and you check your mail 2 days later and you still don't have the check, but what did you accomplish? What did you get done?
Everybody knows that Hair Radio does podcasting, production, and publishing. That's second to none. Hello, Afrolock Magazine, one of our creations. But did you know that Hair Radio also creates stunning digital graphics that you can use in your social media? We make logos, business cards, flyers, wall banners for your events, and so much more. Even if you create your own hair products, well, we can design your labels. Just let us know. Call us for all of your printing needs or designs. We got you covered. Hair Radio Graphics at 833-402-8882. Again, our phone number is 833-402-8882.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
Okay, it is Thursday morning, June 2, 2023. I'm out of Brooklyn, New York. It's Kerry Hines with Nicole Marie Michael Hopkins. And it's our show number 869 as we march along to 9 o'clock today. I have about an hour to go here, New York time. Nicole Marie, I think it's time for some morning. We say morning inspiration. We've gotten to know it better as hope of the day. It's your hope in a bottle. So, Nicole Marie, what do you want to say today? What is hope of the day? Tell everybody.
Well, first of all, hope is so very, very important because it gives our lives meaning. And no matter what each and every one of us has gone through, maybe going through right now, there is always hope, that positive expectation that change can and will occur in all of our lives. So I want to share hope of the day for this Thursday for all of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And this moment is courtesy of the book called High Hopes by Patrick Lindsay. So the hope of the day for today is impress yourself. In the end, there's only one person who can judge. Only one who knows your true thoughts and feelings. Patience. Create your own expectations and live up to them. And that is our hope for this Thursday. Back to you, Carrie.
All right. Well, I'm loving this. Michael, did you hear that? We have a special guest on with Hope of the Day today.
Yes.
Wow. Very much so. And that Hope of the Day, that's a beautiful one because it makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. You know, to me, reality is, the number one person that we're living for is ourselves. And when we worry about what everybody else is thinking, what he thinks, what she thinks, what they think, no, worry about you. Get you in alignment. That's the way I look at it.
So true.
Well, I do too. Yeah, I have to say, I think what Patrick Lindsay is saying, you know, you're number one. You have to put yourself first. You know,
right.
It reminds me of being a flight attendant. You've got to, you know, put your oxygen mask on first and then anyone that you're traveling with. So you got to remember. Put yourself first, but I love his words, create your own expectations and then live up to them. And
that's exactly what
I have created for myself. I created my own expectations every day, and I live up to them. I make a promise to myself to get up and get things together and get things rolling because I have a big commitment that we entertain folks from all over the world who listen to this broadcast in different countries, as well as here in America. And long after, you know, who knows what in this world, we will be able to, folks will be listening to us forever.
Right.
That's a part of this legacy.
Very much so.
And so, I love that. Impress yourself. In fact, I think those are two words we're going to remember today, impress yourself.
Impress yourself.
And we love that. Yeah.
Love
now, what about
it.
You, Nicole Marie? What has any resonance with you this morning on that?
Yes. Well, I feel just like you, Carrie, about every day I have expectations for myself, things I want to accomplish, things I want to get started on, if it's something that's going to take me a while to do. And every day I'm working on something toward, you know, that I have on my list. And I check something off, and that gives me a boost to continue working on other things on my list. I've accomplished one thing. Okay, now let's go to the next. And just having that focus to have something to work towards and accomplish, it's so key. It's not about, you know, wandering through life day to day, okay, what am I going to do, blah, blah, blah. No, have a focus. Have expectations for yourself, goals for yourself that you're reaching for. Everybody has a dream.
Exactly.
You need to be working towards it.
Oh, I love that. All right.
That's great.
Okay, you said it. I think on that note, it doesn't get much better than that.
Very much
and
so.
You're absolutely right. You know, everyone has a dream, and you should be working towards it. There's no excuse.
Don't let anybody or anything steal you. Yes.
And you remember my motto, what was possible for you yesterday is still possible for you today.
Exactly.
How about that?
Who remembered that?
How about that?
Oh, yeah. That we have to live by. So listen, we'll take a little bit of a music break. We're going to take some time. Michael, want to hear what's going on over at Vet Talk Radio these days. We didn't have a chance to catch up yesterday on Tuesday's broadcast if you had any feedback and all that good stuff. And I know it's Thursday, but I still want to get an idea of what's coming up. You're like in the midst of, I think you just did your 30th show this year. this season.
Right.
So
pretty much.
Yeah, we're going to talk. We got to talk about a whole lot of this going on. So lots of good stuff, folks. All right, stay with us. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I want to hear from my favorite, one of my favorite songs. Stay with us. We'll be back.
I love the way you love to live. You love life. Your inspiration. I love the way that you give. Your heart so freely. Your sweet sensation. You're my invitation to.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
And I am telling you, I'm not going. You're the best man I'll ever know. There's no way I can ever go. No, no, there's no way. No, 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 no way. I'm living without you. I'm not living without you. I don't wanna be free.
Oh,
is proud to present Dina Jones and the Dream.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
I think with all of the conversations that I've had probably in the last year, Kerry, and of course, you know, we've had our industry, hair, beauty, and skin, and, you know, ethnic beauty has taken a hard hit. So I think one of the most important projects to me is to tell my story of just how I grew up in black hair care at the beginning of the boom as the billion-dollar economic industrial revolution of what we call the curl, even though we were coming out of pressing curls and going into the afro. So that's one of the things I'm working on. It's a documentary of my life and how I grew up in black hair care. And some of the people, it's funny, you know, because people would always say, you know, we had all this wealth and black dynasties and of generating black wealth. But where did the kids go? You know, where did the money go? Where did that whole wealth gap? Where is it? And so I feel, you know, a sense of responsibility to at least tell it from my perspective. So that it's almost like that all that wealth kind of like evaporated.
And so, well, that's what I'm going to ask you. Yeah, where did the money go? That's the question, the million-dollar question here, literally.
Yeah.
We're talking about generations of hair industry superstar folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, so
it's a complex conversation because you can't talk about where the wealth went until you talk about there's a conversation that I do address called gerontocracy. And gerontocracy is when the passing doesn't happen. And your predecessors stay too long. And they stay too long because they're not adapting. And we always talk about how companies should adapt to you adapt inside before you see signs of the changing of the trends or changing of the times. And so there's a thing that and when you get into the 70s and 80s, most of those companies were ran by men, black men. And so black men tend to look at their children differently.
Watch it, Cheryl Morrow. No, geez.
Black women, you know, no, they do, and it's, let's just say, you know, you have your John Johnson, you have your George Johnson, you have your Mr. Dudleys, you have your Mr. Morrows, you have your Mr. Bronners, you have the World of Curls and the Donnies and the Leisure Curls. You had these men, and so they did have children, but you know, the limelight is addictive. The limelight is addictive. And they just don't see the continuity of their legacies through their children. It sounds like a good thing. They know they should do it, but they don't do it. You know, and so
there's a
cultural thing. And then when you have the Eunice Johnsons and the Celia DeVore, and you have the Dr. Katie Wickhams, and you have this when you have women. They tend to let go a little easier, so those legacies can continue. But there is just like a real cultural thing, and then I get into it into the documentary because it's real talk. Mm. You know, this is not just us wanting to pass wealth. It's not us wanting to just close wealth gaps. You can't close wealth gaps if you don't have the continuity of the predecessor into the succession plan, which is your children.
I agree.
You can't close a gap, because the gap keeps getting wider because white America keeps passing it on and locking it within their culture. We don't. It's a cultural thing.
We don't
I get
really,
into that.
Yeah,
we don't get it.
Well, let me ask you
about
that
a little bit,
Cheryl.
Yeah,
I want to ask you about that because, you know, I mean, on a simplistic term, in a very simple way, I talk to a lot of hairstylists, you know, throughout the years, and I always ask them about, you know, they open up the shops, and I say, well, what about your kids, you know, or they helping you or working at the shops and, you know, and this and that. And they cannot get those kids to help them at the shops. The kids generally take it for granted. You know, they've got all the money that comes from, the parents' hard work at these salons and barbershops. And they just go on and living a very, great life from the benefits of the financial aspect. But they do nothing to support the parents' hard work, and they truly are not going to be heading up any kind of, taking on a business. That's just not even on the table. And I always wondered about that, and I kind of think about it for my own company. So this is something that is very, very important, and it's a big disparity between the African-American community with regards to succession, I call it, and the people who are outside of our community. So this is really something that is very interesting to me. And I know you're on a different level with it, but it just I don't understand. Is it just just something that the kids don't, you know, should we expect them to want to, to continue on in their with their parents' legacy? You know, is this something?
Think about it, Gary. I didn't want to be a barber. My father started out as a barber.
Right.
The key here is that Mr. Marl created a company. Now, think about it. Most because I'm a hairstylist. I get it.
Yes.
The problem is that their hairstyling portion of their business is not a company. So there is no room to do other things besides maybe promotions or marketing of the parents' actual skill sets, which is doing hair. Where else is there other means of doing something else if the child or if the offspring doesn't want to do hair? And just think of this analogy, and I always tell them when I get this question, would I really want to inherit a cotton picking business? Black people pick cotton. Would I want to pass that on? You know, so the physical portions of, businesses are not companies. Businesses is one thing, and a company is another. So in a company is encased, which I always tell people, I'm an intrapreneur. I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't need to make anything. I don't need to discover anything. I don't need to do any of that. What I need to do is to come in with something already formed and take it to the next level. So because my father had a company, right, he had a company which had, roots, and then it springed out with branches and leaves. So there was so many branches to him because they and just take the Johnson daughter, with Ebony and Jet. Because Ebony and Jet and was really actually a beauty business. There was Duke and Ravine, which was Relaxer, and Duke was a men's line. There were so many other things to do within Johnson Publishing. So it was an actual company.
Right.
So that tends to allow the successor to kind of fit in and take the reins. But if you are just a business, which hair salons are, and barber, you tend and it's tied to the parent's physical skills. You really have a very difficult time with that, with the succession plan.
Well, now you are talking about in your upcoming documentary, we're talking about some of the biggest names in the hair industry. And so I'm just, one of the things that jumps out at me, have you heard any feedback from some of those, you know, some of those families, some of those super well-known hair industry superstar families? Have you gotten any feedback
yet?
What are their thoughts?
Well, the problem, when you are acquired by big companies like Procter & Gamble or L'Oreal, and you evaporate. Yeah, you there is nothing to, unless you stay on as a consultant or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
and that doesn't
you evaporate.
Last too long. Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Cheryl Morrow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I'm looking forward to this documentary.
well,
so,
I was in the studio doing San Diego Monitor News business as a publisher because we now had it at a podcast studio, right? And in the middle of that, I get a phone call from Chicago or someplace, and they want, you know, 1,000, you know, Willie Morrow blow dry novels. It's just that, you know, here I go, I'm in the newspaper, but I get calls about something that was created over 45 years ago, and it's still the number one heat tool on Amazon. That is Succession.
Let's take an order for something
in beauty. It's an amazing thing.
Exactly.
Because that's a company,
And I want to remind, I absolutely want to remind everybody about the amazing legacy and lineage that you have. So we're talking about the Morrow family dynasty. So I'm in the hair business, and your father, as you just mentioned, that starting with the novel, tell us a little bit about his invention, because that really, that hit the mark out there and made him pretty much a household name in the hair industry, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, just combs, period. I think that in those 60s, 1964, bringing to commercial market is the brilliance of Mr. Morrow. Not the fact that creating or duplicating something that had already been done in the continent of Africa. So the comb in and of itself is not the invention. The invention is to be able to put it in industrial commerce to make it available, because if you didn't go to the continent of Africa in 1963, 1964, you wouldn't get it.
You wouldn't get it.
Right? Yes.
Correct.
So the ability for him to take it, to redesign it, patent it, take it to the U.S. Congress, put it into commerce, and to commercialize it, monetize it, right, and productize it, and make it available for black people in the West Indies, black people in North America, black people in in Europe, and black people in Asia, black people in Africa too. They didn't know it was a thing, you know. So we could fashion and style our hair and be a part of the secular world. So the Afrocomb was put in the secular world by Mr. Morrow by redesigning it and industrializing it. It's the same process as taking tobacco. Yeah, tobacco is natural in its environment, but to make it be consumed and then enrich yourself by that great legacy called an Afrocomb, and then making other people have it in Cuba and in Hawaii and in other places. So that was brilliant. And then to create this generation, and then you have the first one, and then the next generation of them, and then to have utility patents, and then go into, you know, making a comb and a blow dry so we can have blowouts and straighten hair and things of that nature. That was, I think, the difference between a Mr. Morrow, a Joe Dudley, a gardener, a machine, a different angle to being part of the legacy of ethnic beauty.
Absolutely. And I just want to also bring attention to that documentary, because to me, 400 years without a comb was so far ahead. Now, documentaries are a lot more you know, out there. Maybe it has a lot to do with the pandemic that we have come through. But I do want to say that the documentary, that documentary really started a lot of the hair industry documentaries, if you will, to me. You know, I think it's one of the most well-known and most seen hair industry documentary in the world. So, and we're talking about 400 Years Without a Comb, and it's still out there, and I'm just loving that. So, again, we're talking about hair legacies.
It started out as a book. And I think that that is probably one of the reasons why it's the hair care, you know, historical Bible that everyone goes to, you know, because it's a three-generation book. In all three decades, Mr. Morrow rewrote it. And then in the last, the fourth quarter of its generation and its edition, he created, and Mr. Morrow just really deals with the culture inside of the plantation, and it starts there. Because the commercial market that you and I enjoy was started on the plantation. It formed itself into, and because of that complete disconnection for about three centuries, that disconnection from the world's first organized beauty kind of, you know, that activity, the way we did it, you know, it was not quite done. When Europe went to colonialize Africa, that is where they learned hygiene. The roots of beauty is hygienic, not, you know, fashion and styling and things of that nature. But it was basically really had its roots in hygiene. And I think that this was starting there, only a black person could have done that, Carrie. You know, no one cared about
it. Absolutely.
Obviously. How you fashioned
Absolutely.
Yourself and cleaned yourself, and how you, you know, became this really sophisticated society and culture, and how you, you know, you did things, you know, with your body and your health and well-being. No one was interested in that type of story. So, yeah, once again, Mr. Morrow hit it on the head, you know.
And it didn't stop there. The San Diego Monitor News. I want to talk about that. Can you tell us a little bit, for those who are outside of the California experience, if you will, what exactly is that? And I believe that you go everywhere with it. So tell everybody about it.
We turned from New York. I lived in New York for 19 years. And, you know, one of the things that, and this is me, you know, I'm going to tell this story in the documentary. One of the reasons why Mr. Morrow got into publishing is not really because he had a great love for journalism, but black people don't really understand that it's legacy to get a newspaper. All hair care men, all hair care families, it was almost like a rite of passage. You had to get a publication. You know, most people think that John Johnson got the publication and then got into the hair business. No, John Johnson, was already in beauty. So their mentor, S.B. Fuller, always told them and taught Joe Dudley, George Johnson, which is Ultra Sheen, Johnson Product, and then John Johnson, which was Johnson Publishing. When you start your beauty line, you get you a newspaper. So Mr. Morrow was just following the great recipe and the great formula of success of S.B. Fuller, one of his mentors. So
yes,
all of them got newspapers. So Mr. Morrow got created one in San Diego in 1986 because of the mentor Bill Thompson. In creating, S.B. Fuller always taught them that you create your own advertising tool. So if you get on the cover of somebody else's publication, that was fine. But make sure that you are always, you create a product, you got to have a way to advertise it. So create a magazine in and of itself. Put some content. And you see how forward they were, actually? And
oh,
you
yeah.
think about
oh,
how,
yeah.
the,
and,
how
and
powerful
that,
content
yeah.
is today. Yeah.
But oh, absolutely. They were way ahead.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was opposite. You know, it was to be the power of the advertisement. You know, be ahead. Put amazing. Yourself on your own cover. Put yourself, you know, look bigger than, you know, you actually are. You know, put your own content out there, your own stories, and then put yourself on the, you know, on the cover, and then put your own ads in. You know, so it was always about advertising, the actual
yeah.
root business. So that's how Mr. Miles
exactly.
got into it, and then, of course, and it just rolled into a journalistic product, you know, local business, local people, and things of that nature. And then
which I love,
it's been
yeah.
adjudicated for over almost, you know, we're heading into 40 years, you know. And so
that
I had just taken over. And, of course, in 2010, I turned it digital. I saw the handwriting on the wall. And I was the first black paper in the state of California to be adjudicated and digitized at the same time. So it was I made sure that I created a hybrid. And it was probably because of my technical skills. You know, graphic skills and technical skills and all that stuff I learned while I was in New York, that I could make that turn and that very, very quickly. So,
well,
now
I love
we
the stories
are,
that you guys cover. Yeah, yeah. We've
yeah.
got to tell folks
thank
how
you,
can they
by
get
the
their
way.
Hands or see. Oh, absolutely. I love when you guys put things out on the internet and, you know, and I see and you do such good work. I love the pictures and the graphics and everything. You're not telling the same stories that everybody else is telling. And that's...
No,
I refuse to. Exactly.
Yeah. I think that our people need orientation and information. You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, we have a saying, if you're not informed, news doesn't matter. You know, if you don't know anything.
Whoa.
You don't know anything.
I have
not
to write
informed.
That one down. If you're not informed,
you.
The news doesn't matter. Wow, that says it all. Wow, okay. You know, let me bring everybody on up to speed with this. If you're kind of just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All Know Here Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, my very special guest today. She really returns back to us. It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
She comes back to the Here Radio Morning Show. You guys know her. She was out here with us on the East Coast, but she's returned to California, the San Diego area, as we were just talking about, the SDMN, San Diego Monitor newspaper, which we just love, this San Diego Monitor News, I should say. So, Cheryl, how can folks, can they get this online? Do you have a place that you can send everybody to find out more, to set, to register? Or
yeah, they can get it
like
on
there.
Yeah, it's a mobile site, so you can get it on your mobile device, and you can go to the website, sbmonitornews.com. Yeah, our story content is very off the beat. I am very picky what our readers are exposed to. They're always are going to get a very avant-garde, a very different way of looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I believe that's one of our impediments. We are so 1960s directed. We are so infused in the 1960s that to get, you know, especially African Americans out
past,
of
yeah.
the 60s and 70s, it's very hard to get us back into the present moment of who we are. And
exactly.
I tell them all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, you think about it, African-Americans, all 46 million, what the average age of an African-American in this country is 26 years old.
Isn't that
And then
wow.
dealing
That's
with
it.
The African diaspora, they're 19. So if you think about 26 and 19, then, you know, that's a lot of time that, you know, we've got to look at things differently.
We
got to look
we
at things
very, do.
Very millennial. Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
and I
yeah.
think that could be one of our strengths, thinking
Absolutely.
About things in such a different way. to get something. I have also another saying, you know, we want something we've never had. We've got to do something we've never done. We've got to think ways
exactly.
that we've never thought.
Exactly. Well, let me turn to probably the, I'm going to call it the elephant in the room, and that is the pandemic.
Okay.
Yes, and I know that's a topic and a half. That's a, you know, we'll probably have to add on 2 or 3 hours to cover this one. But
God.
I have, what is your take when you look back? Because right now, as we go to the air with this particular broadcast today, we are more than what they're saying in terms of emerging and all of that. And what can you say looking back? What was the experience like in California and the hair biz part where you were? And California, to me, California is a very different, had a very different approach with all of that. But what's your take? You are living there.
Yeah.
What's
well,
your take
say
on
because of
yeah.
the weather. Because of the weather, I think we made an adjustment very quickly because we could go outside very quickly. We were always outside, you know. And so I think that they adjusted well. I think African Americans did not adjust well because, of course, you know. And to me, let me just say this: the elephant in the room is not really quite the pandemic, from my perspective. The elephant in the room is that the fact that black people are prone to be frightened, much more traumatized than our other racial counterparts. So we don't adjust well. We have the boogeyman. You know, everything's the boogeyman for us. And our people, secretly in our silos, were saying, oh, stay in. You know, and that is not quite good for business. And so you are naturally afraid, you don't pivot. You're very slow to react. And you can imagine, Carrie, I was very avant-garde and had a different take on it. You know, because after, I would probably say March of 2020, it was not a pandemic at that point. It was an epidemic in the United States. An epidemic in Brazil. It wasn't a pandemic at that point. Other world governments had contained it. And so that's what we keep saying. Like the rest of the world had our issues. No, the rest of the world, the continent of Africa, barely is reaching 4,000 deaths. The whole 54 countries.
The whole continent,
that says,
right.
That's enormous if you think about it. And there's something quite not right with that. You know, within 50 to 100 to 200 miles, you know, from where we quote unquote say it began. I mean, they have less than maybe 300. And so it wasn't a pandemic long. It was an epidemic. And I think that because our news outlets, and speaking of the San Diego Monitor News, I just refuse to kind of put fuel on the fire and I didn't take, and I'm going to say this, you know, I didn't take any COVID money. I refuse to because I can't say no, because you can't really stay.
Well, they were throwing it out there.
Yeah, they were
throwing
it out. Let me just say this. And I refuse to kind of have and I think I did it once, and you know, Carrie, I just couldn't do it because one of the things, because it doesn't allow you to look at things objectively. And if we're going to have black news, and if we're going to be very neutral, you can't be involved in that kind of thing. And let me just say this: as our mother company, which is Beauty, I can afford to do that, and I understand that most papers needed that money to, you know, say, hey. Right. And because I was digitized prior to 10 years ago, I pivoted very quickly to digital and still maintained my other advertisers. So, you know, 2020 was not, it did not affect me. Not economically.
That is amazing. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because
and
the
so,
census was going on at the same time. So that was very surprising.
Yeah, that's
too.
True. Which changed the game here in New York for us to a degree. I have to say, though, and looking out, so what are some of the, you know, when you look at the beauty industry, you know, how, in your opinion, has it affected the folks in the beauty industry? I mean, especially, like you said, in California, though, see, you guys were, remind me of Georgia. Right after this pandemic was kind of declared, right, Georgia was like, okay, we're like literally about 2 weeks later. We're all this business again, everybody. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I remember having panel discussions on our broadcast here on the Hair Radio Morning Show in the year 2020. It was just strange, a very strange dynamic in different states.
Yeah.
And so the industry was very different, and then with and we've had the people from Barbicide and all these other folks on, and they scared the bejesus out of us with the discourse on television news, as you were kind of saying. It's almost surreal. So so when you look at the beauty industry, will we make it? What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't even think it's that the salon. I think that we could have pivoted. That I also was involved in some technology and formulation and dealing with a disinfectant that covers you from all viruses 9.993.
Really?
And it protects you for 90 days. You don't even have to sanitize. Once you sanitize your
hands,
you know, you protect it. Yes. We have it in production.
Wow.
It has all of its OSHA and FDA passage. So I answered it in a very technological way. But here's the thing, Carrie. It's not about what's going on in the salon per se, because black hair care professionalism is wired through the salon. But the industry is wired through the trade show. Once you took the trade show and you could not meet in the groves of 7,000 to 10,000 people, you decimated the ethnic hair care industry, because the ethnic hair care industry is wired through the trade show. So now the expo, and now the festival, and now the trade shows, you can't meet. So how do you carry along something that is wired through the actual platforming, hairstyle, and trade show, and all these big, huge halls and auditoriums?
Exactly.
And conventions and things. When you can't meet.
And I'm raising my hand devastated. Right now.
Right. And,
yeah,
and, right,
it really was.
Devastated. Yeah. And so that means that hair, ethnic hair care, because it's the Warner Brother, as you know it, is over. The international show in New York is over. You can't meet.
Wow.
Those are too many people in one confined space, and now, you know, you're just trying to stay 6 feet apart, you know, and you got to, you know, that is a nightmare.
It was a show killer,
right,
for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
now,
the Cheryl, problem
I've got to say
is that,
to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please finish your thought. The problem is.
No. So the question and the challenge for black hair care and ethnic beauty is because we needed to pivot long before this. And I have been telling show promoters for at least 5 years, pivot to the small conference and the more con kind of business model, and create a different kind of gathering to where it's an invited list, and it happens more often instead of twice a year.
Exactly.
And so,
and
but,
this
you know,
is what I speak to 1,000%. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they act like I didn't, you know, say anything. So, you know, we invite the formulators. You know what I mean? Invite, create a TED Talk style, or there's so many other ways to bring smaller groups. Yeah.
Exactly, and to create those lanes that'll support you and take you through these times. Now, Cheryl, I've got to say, there is one big story that we are revisiting here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And this, not too long ago, but there was a huge story. Now, I'm telling you, it was the number one cover story, especially in the hair and beauty industry, but it had crossed over into mass media. And this was the story of the Gorilla Glue girl who had in it, well, who had put the glue in her hair, the Gorilla Glue. And she was rescued, so to speak, by a California doctor. Dr. Michael Obing, who was a guest on our very show, on the Hair Radio Morning Show, he spoke to Hair Radio first about this this ordeal for this young woman and how he was able to remedy the situation. But let's start with your take on this, because we're talking about this again as we'll be checking in to see what's new and what's the latest that's going on. It's been a few months. Has her hair grown back? What happened? What's going on? So we will revisit it. But what's your take on this situation? I wish I could have seen your face when you heard this on the news.
You know,
I wish I could have just been a fly on the wall.
Let me just say this. Yeah, you know it. And you know, I'm always going to be honest with you, Carrie.
Yeah.
Wow. And let me just say this, and I am in no way invalidating anybody. And the doctor thing was to me was, you know, a little far out there. You know, it's so funny because the glue. And here we go again, and this is me sticking up for my beauty and beauty professionals, because I am a hairstylist. For that particular act connected with a doctor, to me, you know, because at the end of the day, the glue in and of itself is not a medication. That's number one. Number two, it's not, it's in the store where a common person can purchase it. And for not a beauty professional to not be able to help her, and I won't even say be able to help her, right? Because what the medical professional used to unstick the stickiness of the solution, anybody could have done that. Because what he used to do that. Now, will you save the hair from the high content of what the effects because of that particular chemical that in that glue did it, you know, because we have to ask what was on the hair first. Was it relaxed?
Exactly.
Was it natural? You know, at the end of the day. So, and to me, because it probably was not really on her scalp, that the scalp hair is probably the hair that is going to obviously be the healthiest. I already know in terms of, you know, of course, we don't necessarily talk about it all the time, but I'm the only cosmetic trichologist in the world that deals with cosmetology-based hair loss on afro textures. But you know, eventually that hair is going to be cut away from her body. Yeah. It's not going to be. It's not going to be. So,
Cheryl,
you know, I don't know. I don't know how much help he was. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, he,
I'm a little in the middle. Yeah, I'm a little in the middle with the doctor angle, you know, because eventually.
Well, you've got to be back on the show when he's here. So, because I would love for you to break it all down with Dr. Obing, who just seems like a nice gentleman and all. But, you know, there's a whole lot more to this story. There is. There's a great deal of this story. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful that we were in the middle of it somewhere. I'm just grateful
at the end of the day, you have to cover it. You know, if nothing is black, you know, black news and ethnic beauty news, that story was a prime example of it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I am honored. Again, we've been chatting with the amazing Cheryl Morrow. Hair royalty, you've been declared and named that for decades. We've been calling you that, hair royalty, right here on our broadcast today. So, yeah, I appreciate your take on it. I've always wanted to, when I hear some of these big stories and some of these big things, I always say, what in the world would Cheryl Morrow say? Really, what would you say about it? Because you always have interesting
ways. The moment I saw that, the moment I saw it, I was like, oh, God, here we go again. Why didn't she just end up at a salon? How did we get to the doctor?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, really weird. You know, but anyway.
Yes. Well, it's about education, and that's where you come in, education. And what was that line earlier? If you're not informed, then the news don't matter.
Well, if you're not informed, news doesn't matter. Yeah, you can't gossip with anybody
yes.
who's not really informed about what they're gossiping about. You know, you can't gossip
I love
with
it.
You know?
I love it.
That's it.
I totally
yeah.
agree. Well, Cheryl Morrow, now what's next for you? What's next for you?
I think that I am going to probably be peeling away from the publisher kind of role at San Diego Monitor News. The George Floyd thing kind of took me out. I think I wanted to be at the helm during that incident and the one-year anniversary and, you know, all of these things.
Well, were you one
that,
of those
coming
who
up.
Were... Were you against the use of the word anniversary? I didn't understand that because anniversary means, just that. It doesn't indicate or mean that it was, you know, party on a table per se. But I saw a lot of stuff online that said, oh, don't call it an anniversary. No media company call it an anniversary. It's not a celebration. So I said, well, I understand what the person meant or their sentiment, but I don't think that – I don't see what the harm of the word itself, anniversary. How do you weigh in, being a media company, Ms. Publisher of the San Diego Monitor News?
Oh, how
do you weigh in on that?
The wonderful thing that I got a call one day, and it was the first cousin of Mr. Floyd.
Mm.
Their mother are sisters, and he is stationed here in San Diego. And he grew up with him. And after, you know, experiencing that whole thing, you know, it really, you know, that is tomato, tomato, you know, anniversary, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, we
yeah.
know what, it, you know, it,
yeah.
it, what happened.
We
and,
know what it really means. Exactly.
You know, well, we get caught up in things of that nature. And I think that once we deal with our trauma, about it, then we can clearly talk about preventing it. And that is very hard to get. And that's why I don't join a lot of black news outlets. I'm just,
the chatter,
you know, we're just
and
different.
All that stuff.
Yeah, we're just different
yeah.
because at the end of the day, on this end of the world, we have a wonderful civil rights activist and founder of the People Alliance for Justice Advocates. His name is Reverend Shane Harris. You know, he's approaching it in terms of preventing and plucking out the next Derek Chauvin. It's not, you know, yours is one focus that people can focus on, but at the end of the day, we're not plucking out. I mean, he had 7 to 8 excessive force.
It's time again to bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. On behalf of program creator Carrie Hines and the entire broadcast family, we say thank you to our fans for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed today's presentation. It's a great honor to get your day started in the most informative and entertaining way possible, and we at Hair Radio take that task very seriously. I'm Ophelia, one of the newest additions to the lineup at the Hair Radio Morning Show. First, let's thank our incredible advertisers, beginning with our legacy sponsors. Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Divine Energy Luxury Candles, Carapy.com, Salon TV Network, the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book I show host, Carrie Hines, celebrating over 10 years in release. Get an updated...